So here we are, James Whitelock and I have decided that we were going to have a bi-weekly podcast where we're going to just talk about things in the news, share some thoughts on what's going on in the recruitment space. So no real method to our madness at this point, other than we're going to just drink coffee and shoot the shit for about 10 minutes and see what comes out of it. So, thanks for jumping on with me, James. It's good to see you again, as always.
It's always a pleasure. I know we've been thinking about doing this for a while. And so it's good to get on. I know this is our first go, so we'll get better as the weeks go on, I hope.
Yeah, it's always like, if you know, you go back and after 10 episodes, 20 episodes, 30 episodes, you go back and you watch your first one. Like, I know the Disrupting Recruitment podcast that I do, I went back and listened to the first episode with Travis Scott, and it's like, I did Travis such a disservice. But that's just the way it goes, right? It'll get better. So, let's shoot some shit. What's going on in the news today that caught your attention?
There's a couple of things, right? So I think we can't get away from the huge screaming ego that is Elon Musk and his takeover of Twitter, right? And the way he has gone about firing half the company basically over email, which the first thing that kind of struck me about that is logistically that's really must be really difficult to do. It's not just like sending out an email, right? You've got to select the kind of people and teams you don't want to keep on, and different jurisdictions are going to have different ways that you can kind of, you know, remove people from your business. In the UK, generally, it's quite difficult to remove people from your business. I guess in his case, he's had to make them redundant, as if actually you can't actually fire them because they haven't done anything wrong. I don't know how in the States, I know it's a little bit different. You can just let people go pretty easily. So that was a kind of fascinating bit around, like, logistically, how do you kind of do that across 8,000 people? But also, I mean, just the total kind of, like, the way not to mass fire people in one go is just do it over email. From the richest man in the world, you just know that it's going to kind of blow up everywhere, basically, right? You know,
over email with a meme.
I mean, it's just crazy. And now it's kind of creeping out that apparently he's now rehiring some of these people because he didn't actually kind of realize how kind of important they were to running Twitter. So he's now having to rehire people that he had fired. And it's just kind of like, it's just an absolute kind of joke, isn't it? I mean, it's just craziness. You know, whatever your feelings are on Elon Musk, you know, positive, negative, or kind of ambivalent, you know, there are ways around kind of like handling kind of mass redundancies and cost cutting within a business. You know, saving, he said something about having to save kind of $4 million a day. You know, I would imagine that just kind of just some other savings would have been the first place to start instead of just kind of mass firing half the company.
Well, we see it a lot in tech businesses, right, where they build up this huge momentum and then, you know, they feel like they're going to run out of cash, so they lay off a bunch of people. And just to me, there's got to be a better way of doing it than that. But, I mean, Elon, like you said, it's whether you love him or hate him, there has to be a better way of doing it. And unfortunately, in North America, Canada, U.S., you could fire somebody because they wore a blue shirt and you like red. It's just going to cost you a lot of money. You don't necessarily have to have a reason. You have to have a reason if you want to let them go without any notice or any, or, you know, if you want to claim just cause or anything like that. But I mean, you can give anybody a severance package and send them out the door. There's got to be,
the optics on it don't look great. That's the thing, isn't it? You know, I mean, for someone who is trying to kind of build this business back up to whatever it needs, whatever he wants, his vision is for it, which is, you know, a whole other podcast, the optics look bad, right? You're just kind of disenfranchising half your kind of workforce, you know, and then you've got basically a load of kind of detractors, 4,000 detractors of Twitter, you know, who then go on to tell another 4,000 people, who then go to tell another 4,000. And it's just kind of like, it just kind of, it snowballs. Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking if I'm one of those employees that he let go, that now it's like, oh shit, we really need you. Can you come back? I'm like, I'm going to be like Mr. Burns there on the Simpsons.
Well, yeah, it'd be like, yeah, but it's going to cost you. You know what I mean? I mean, you've got to kind of be, I suppose the only reason to go back is because you're kind of motivated by the money. Surely at this point, you'd just be like, I'm not going back to Twitter because, you know, that is not the company that was started, you know, 20 years ago or something. And you can see that it's going to go through all these kind of changes. What those changes are, I don't even think Elon Musk knows at this point, but you know it's going to change. So I would be of the opinion that, you know what, you can go stick it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what else is anything else jumping out at you in the UK there going on?
That was kind of from a BBC kind of news article. And there's another one that kind of caught my eye recently was around these big businesses having a land grab in the metaverse. Basically, these huge kind of corporates, the Samsungs, the Gucci's, and et cetera, of the world, buying up land in the metaverse for God knows what reason, without anyone realizing or understanding what the metaverse is or does, or how many there are and what they're doing in there, but spending apparently just chucking money at it, basically, at the minute. I don't even know if it is cool, though, right? I mean, is it cool? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody really knows what it is. It reminded me of when, when I used to work at Video before acquired by Randstad, we dabbled in a virtual kind of platform called Second Life. Now, we were kind of thinking about opening up virtual kind of recruitment offices in Second Life. I think Second Life is still going. So, and that it just kind of reminded me that this isn't really the freshest of ideas, really. But I think because Facebook and kind of their rebranding under Meta and kind of putting a lot of, a resource into this, people have seemed to kind of think that it's the next big thing, without realizing that it's kind of been there anyway, right? You know, the likes of kind of Fortnite and things like that are basically virtual environments now anyway. Just because you're not having to use kind of, you know, your VR headset or something like that doesn't mean it's not a kind of a metaverse in its own right. And it kind of interested me as like, well, you know, from a recruitment perspective, a staffing perspective, a talent attraction, a client attraction perspective, you know, where the hell is this going, and how do we kind of as people working in that space, you know, what's our role in that, and when do we kind of get involved, which is, I just thought was kind of interesting. I don't have the answers, right? I don't know if you've ever had any much kind of dealings in the metaverse.
No, but it really makes you wonder, like, what's how is Web3 going to impact recruitment? Like, you look at, you mentioned Fortnite, and in the gaming industry, Web3, like, they're really, you're now in a position where there's companies coming out where you can, if you buy assets in a game, they're your assets, and you can take them to other things, and you can sell them to other people, and which is cool. I mean, that's a really interesting idea. But so how does Web3 and blockchain, even, like, how is that all going to impact the way that we source candidates, or perhaps even pay candidates? Like, an area that we never talk about in recruitment all that often is, you know, with the talents, or with the temp space. And I can see, blockchain having a real, and Web3 having a real impact on that, temp staffing, gig economy space, where, I could bring somebody into my office today for whatever reason. I need an extra pair of hands in the warehouse or whatever. And at the end of the shift, I just hit a button and they're paid, right? And, I can see a real impact in that. So it'll be interesting to watch to see where that goes.
It is interesting. You're right. And the thing is, I mean, my experience is that I don't think a lot of people really understand it enough to kind of know how to use it. Okay, I think there's a lot of businesses, a lot of recruiters that recruit into kind of into crypto and into blockchain and into the metaverse, but how many really kind of truly understand what is going on, right? How that technology actually works and have kind of ingrained into that. You know, I have some kind of, we have some dealings with it, but I don't know. My knowledge scratches the surface, and that's about it, right? But you're right. I think there are lots of things that blockchain kind of could be useful, you know, around kind of just movement and, or not necessarily tracking, but, you know, treating kind of temps or candidates and moving and maybe to see where they've kind of moved around, almost like a kind of their CV, that basically, and that's what the kind of ledger is within the blockchain. It could be used for training and things like that. And kind of, you can move that training from one place to another and people have access to it, to that when you're kind of, and you're learning. I think there's possibilities. I just don't think anyone's really kind of got a grip with it yet, or especially within staffing of room.
That would be interesting though, if this whole technology piece, the Web3, metaverse, blockchain, you know, that piece is finally the piece that we need to eliminate the CV.
Yeah, I mean,
that would make me happy, actually.
Well, I mean, I think there has the potential to be, right? I think you know, and it's not necessarily the what the data that's on a CV. It's kind of how the CV is moved around, right? And how you have access, and who has access to that CV. So the problem, I guess, we have, and this is one of the problems with metaverse generally, again, as well, is that it's all disparate. Okay, for it to work properly, you need one blockchain. You know, you need your one. You know, you need a standardized kind of version of this across, you know, territories, so you could move these things around basically, and it could be accessed from the UK, it could be accessed from North America, it could be accessed in Australia, it could be accessed in the Middle East, wherever. But the feeling is, as I bet you, that it's all just kind of quite disparate, and I don't know how well you can get different versions, you know, blockchains connected and communicating with each other, and if that has any, how that even works. I don't know. I just generally, technically, I don't even know how, if that's even possible. Yeah,
I don't even want to pretend to know how to dabble in that yeah. side, but
yeah.
We're facing an interesting challenge here in Canada where, you know, our the number of people that retired this year is up like 130% over last year. I think article I saw the other day, well, about a month ago now, I guess, from CBC said that there's 300,000 people that have retired already in Canada this year, up 200 from 233,000 last year. So, and the problem that we have, and all of my Canadian recruiters are going to hate me for saying this, but the problem we have is that we're very far behind in terms of our recruitment processes, our technology. There's some great recruitment tech companies out of Canada, but everybody I talk to, their market is the US and the UK, because Canada is, we're not there yet in recruitment marketing. And there's a lot of people who want to be, and God love you, keep pushing it. But, so, you know, in the article, they mentioned Lee Valley and things that they're trying to do to change the landscape. And the city of Toronto is actually starting to use TikTok and Instagram as a recruitment tool, which is great to see. So, you know, I don't know why we're so like, we like the UK, to me, the UK is the leader in terms of recruitment and strategy and recruitment marketing. Like, you don't act like to me, doing job ads in the UK without using programmatic is like going to work without your pants on. You just don't do it. And in Canada, it's a hard sell. Like I don't know why we're so far behind, but it's good to see like the city of Toronto is now trying to use TikTok, and Lee Valley's trying to do different things, and see, you know, some of these major employers are trying to step outside the box and catch up to the rest of the world.
Well, I mean, as a UK native working in the rec space, you know, we're not that advanced, right? When, you know, there's the thing you have to kind of understand about the UK is it's quite, you know, it's mature, but there's a lot of recruitment that goes on, and it's disparate, right? You know, there's something like 30,000 recruitment agencies in the UK. You know, the majority of them, like 80 to 85% are kind of one or two man kind of size businesses. The next kind of shift up is kind of like your 12 to 20. Then you kind of, and but right, only right at the top is a very small, very, very small percentage of the really kind of big recruiters who will be doing kind of, will have a much more kind of technology focused on how they recruit. That's not said that others aren't kind of coming up, and it's definitely the landscape is changing. But it's interesting to kind of hear that, you know, this kind of issue in Canada around trying to kind of make recruitment a bit smarter and a bit more kind of candidate focused, I guess, and hopefully maybe even trying to kind of move away from, you know, I don't know what, you know, job boards and kind of that kind of thing, and maybe more kind of just drive inbound direct traffic. And you know, I know that's something we discuss a lot with our clients over here, and trying to lessen our reliance on those kind of advertising platforms like boards, etc. And it's good to hear that, you know, that Toronto's kind of messing around with TikTok and stuff like that, right? I mean, there's a certain demographic that's only going to watch that, though, right? There is, you know, that's not for these guys who you mentioned who are leaving the workforce. You know, they're not, you know, that's not going to bring them back, is being on TikTok. You know,
no, but there's, you know what, there's a huge phenomenon going on that people are like deathly afraid to say they're on TikTok, but love watching TikToks. And and so like some of the most engaged with content on Facebook and LinkedIn is TikTok videos.
Yep.
So if you're using TikTok as a recruitment tool, you absolutely want to make sure that you're pulling those off. It's pretty easy to rip the video off and loading it to your Facebook page and loading it to your Instagram and loading it to your LinkedIn page. Because I guarantee you, all of those people that are saying, I'm not on TikTok, I will never be on TikTok, you're never going to catch me on TikTok, I just watch TikTok videos on Facebook. But people are engaging with it like crazy. And there is a lot. I don't know if you've ever looked into the recruitment content on TikTok, but there is a lot of recruitment content on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah. We you know, we work with some of our clients on TikTok and put some of that kind of stuff up there. And yeah, it does get well engaged. I think the initial kind of reticence to kind of use TikTok because it was looked at as a kind of a younger demographic, that's definitely shifting. I think the reticence being that it was being spied on by Chinese government or something like that, I think it's kind of I don't think people don't necessarily care too much about that now either. And it is the fastest growing kind of social media platform out there at the moment. I guess everybody else, I guess now they're all leaving Twitter, they've got to go somewhere, I guess, right?
Well, everybody loves video, I think, and that's yeah, the advantage, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't profess to know any of the answers. we're just sharing our thoughts, and I'd love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments, or reach out to either of us if you have some thoughts you want to share. We can both be found here on LinkedIn or multiple channels. But James, I think we're going to have fun with this.
Rant, I think, every couple of weeks. We'll get better. You know, we'll stay on topic. We'll stay on topic a bit, kind of more next time. And it'd be great to hear if anybody does have any kind of thing that they want us to have a discuss, or any kind of news items that they've picked up on. They want to hear our thoughts. You know, then just drop into the comments, and we can kind of pick that up on another episode.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll talk again soon.
Cheers.